I'm Eric Felton, and this is Beyond Category. We're here in the alley, ready to go into Blues Alley to hear the great piano player Bill Mays in duo with bassist Tommy Cecil. Let's go check it out. Bill Mays, Tommy Cecil, welcome. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
That first song, that was a tune from West Side Story. Tell me
Correct.
About that tune.
Something's coming. It's in the beginning of the show. And it was a tune that I had a suspicion that Stephen Sondheim had a little more to do with it than just writing the lyrics. But
there's a tune that Bernstein had written the music for.
Right. He wrote the music, but I have a feeling that Sondheim had a little more to do, at least with that tune, than just the lyrics.
Well, Bill Mays, that's a tune that's been covered by all sorts of jazz musicians.
Yeah.
Oscar Peterson, of course, has a
right.
great version. So what's the challenge when you take on a tune that's not only a great iconic tune, but that has been worked over by all sorts of great musicians?
Well, you, of course, just play your own style on it. And when you're searching for tunes to use as improvisation vehicles, you want something that has good changes. And in the case of this tune, we're really using the changes that Bernstein wrote. We didn't alter them much at all.
These are the chord changes.
Yeah, I mean,
the
way I voice, you know, is all my own. But basically, we're working, unlike some of the other things on the album, we're working pretty much with Bernstein's changes.
And this is an album, of course, where you're taking songs that that Stephen Sondheim has been involved either as a lyricist or as lyricist and composer of,
yeah.
of the music.
Right.
How'd you get the idea to do Sondheim songs for in a jazz vein?
The overarching feeling is that Sondheim is an exponent of, I think, a great, great tradition. I think Broadway composers have written a motherload of material that jazz musicians have explored, and I thought to myself, why not expand that tradition and try to include Sondheim?
Right, because there's so much music that comes from Broadway and in the 20s and the 30s
Cole
and
Porter,
40s.
Berlin, sure.
Yeah,
Jerome Kern, yeah.
But maybe jazz musicians haven't taken full enough advantage of music that's more recent from Broadway.
True.
How did you pick the tunes that you did on the album?
Well, I played a gig with Tommy a year or two ago, and on that gig we played Sin and the Clowns, which is from,
A Little Night Music,
thanks. And Tommy liked that arrangement and started giving it some thought that maybe we should explore more, because I only knew two of Sondheim's tunes, really, in a jazz way. So Tommy, it was his idea to do this duo album, and he called me, and we started exchanging tunes and ideas, and he'd write a little arrangement, I'd write an arrangement. We'd sometimes combine our efforts, and so I think we came up with a very well-rounded program in terms of tempo and feels. We'd do some things as bossa novas or sambas, some things are ballads or up-tempo swing. So it's a good...
So tell me about the doing music as a duo. Bill, you've had some great records that you've put out going back decades where you've worked in a duo format with great bass player Red Mitchell, with Ray Drummond.
Yeah.
What do you like about the duo format?
Well, there's no place to hide. Seriously, when you have a drummer, and I love playing in trio situations too, but the texture and the sound of the drums provides an extra component that allows you to kind of relax in a different way than you do in a duo context. You know, the time is really, I think the bass player has the hardest job in a duo situation, because the drums are not there to help keep the time and keep the pulse and the groove. So, but I really like it because of the clarity it provides. And there's more space for us to solo than maybe in a trio setting where we'd be sharing fours and eights and choruses with a drummer. But the intimacy of it and the ability to interact and respond instantaneously is that much greater in a duo setting.
Well, Tommy, as a bass player in a duo, you've got to lay down the time and then switch into taking melodic responsibilities, and how do you make those transitions?
Yeah, but it's not all that cut and dry. I mean, I think that you can really create space and, you know, an atmosphere. I think it's a lot easier to do that in a duo circumstance than in a larger format because it's so conversational, and I really like that concept.
Well, let's hear some more of the conversation. What's another tune that you did on this Sondheim record that you could do for us today?
Not While I'm Around, a beautiful ballad that Tommy arranged.
Fantastic. Bill Mays and Tommy Cecil. Thank you. Bill Mays, Tommy Cecil, that was lovely, lovely. So, Bill, let's talk about your career a little bit here. You've played with a staggering variety of musicians. You've played with everybody from Sarah Vaughan to Barry Manilow, from Frank Sinatra to Frank Zappa, and managed to do it all brilliantly. How did you find your way into such a diverse musical career?
Well, I did learn early on that versatility and eclecticism would help me work more. I got that advice from some seasoned older professionals. And so when I started, after I got out of the Navy, I was a musician in the Navy. I spent 4 years in San Diego and was fortunate enough to have a television show band gig that I played on during the day, and then at night played club dates, dances, and whatnot. So I got a lot of really good hands-on experience in my early 20s and moved to Los Angeles, and within a couple of years got into the studio scene, which was very busy.
And that's doing music for movies, for television.
Television shows, of which there were several that had big bands, 20-piece bands, back in the early 70s.
Now, the demand when you're a studio musician is maybe a little different than what is common for most jazz musicians.
You have to be an expert sight reader. You have to be able to play with a click track. You have to be able to follow a conductor, phrase with various instruments and sections in the orchestra. So it's a whole different hat that you wear than when you're improvising and playing a jazz gig.
Except then your ability as a sight reader ended up getting you a job with one of the great jazz musicians of all time, Sarah Vaughan. Tell us about how you got the gig with Sarah Vaughan.
Well, there was a great pianist named Jimmy Rolls, who was an excellent accompanist to all the legendary singers, from Lady Day to Sarah and beyond. And Jimmy said, Sarah's looking for a pianist, and he recommended me. And I went over to her home in Beverly Hills, and she had a book about that thick. I thought, this is going to be a three-hour audition. We played through a couple of tunes. She said, you've got the job, let's eat. And she proceeded to cook me a dynamite home-cooked meal. And that started a year and a half association with her. It's one of the great jobs that I had in my life.
Well, Tommy, you've played with a lot of singers as well. What does playing with singers bring to your understanding of jazz that maybe is a little different from what you get from playing with horn players?
I think playing with a singer, you learn how to interpret the tune, the material, and I think that's really important. I think a lot of musicians that don't have that experience lack that kind of interpretive dimension to their playing. And I think working with singers, you get that, you learn a lot of repertoire. You learn how to play in odd keys without any, without thinking about it, all of that.
Yeah. Bill, what did you get from playing with Sarah Vaughan?
I think I'd second everything Tommy said, but also not just with Sarah, all the singers I worked with, you really learn how to phrase, help me develop a good tone, a good singing tone on the piano.
What do you mean by that? How do you get a singing tone out of the piano?
I mean, everybody's sound is different. You know, if you think of Hank Jones and then you think of McCoy Tyner, two entirely different sounds out of the piano. It's just as simple, if I explained it at the keyboard, some people might approach the piano more like this. And others might be more like. You know, it depends on the tune you're playing, of course, but your whole approach to the piano is informed by everything you've played, the things you've studied. I think my classical studies, all the composers that I played in classical music helped me develop my tone, too. But hearing different singers playing behind Sinatra and Sarah Vaughan and Peggy Lee, you know, and you get the idea of what a real good voice, singing voice sounds like, and I've tried to emulate their sound on the piano.
What do you get when you work with singers in terms of, you know, having the lyrics of the music out there, which adds an emotional dimension that isn't necessarily obvious if you're just doing the melody? Do you try to know the lyrics to tunes that you play?
I've played enough with singers to get the kind of the atmosphere of the tune, and I think that's really not to be underestimated. And there are some tunes that I do know the lyrics to, and I think it really makes a difference. Yeah.
And Bill, of course, this Sondheim record, Sondheim having gotten his start as a lyricist, a wordsmith before he really came into his own as a full composer, in doing this project, how much did the lyrics of the tune come into how you approached the melodies and harmonies of the tunes?
Well, it certainly has to do with, when I wrote, as I approached some of these arrangements, it has to do with how I notate the melody. I'm aware of the lyrics because I'm not going to take a tune like we're going to just play, not while I'm around. I'm not going to do nothing's gonna harm you. You know, I'm thinking nothing's gonna harm you, not while I'm around. So I'm aware of the lyric, and that's informing how I'm phrasing and the timing of the line. So it's very important. I don't memorize all the lyrics to tunes that I know that I play, but I have an idea of what the tune's about. I've spent a little time with the lyrics. You also have the advantage of learning some great verses when you work with vocalists, because many vocalists include the verses.
And that's a sort of preliminary stage setting material that a lot of players forget.
Mm-hmm. Maybe just instrumentalists wouldn't be concerned with them, but there are several, you know, many, many good verses to tunes from the Great American Songbook.
Well, it's been great hearing you guys play. I'd love to sit and play something with you.
Yeah.
Why don't we, you know, Sondheim, a great lyricist who became a composer. Why don't we do something from Frank Lesser, another lyricist turned wonderful, full-blown composer.
Sure.
All right. Terrific. Let's give it a try.
Okay.
Tommy Cecil at the bass and Mr. Bill Mays at the piano. I'd like to thank Blues Alley Nightclub for hosting us today. I want to thank you for joining us. We hope you'll join us again real soon for more good music on Beyond Category.